This is WHFR Dearborn, and now for the next hour, our public affairs show, local news and views from Dearborn and the surrounding area. And we call it the new WHFR Journal. Welcome to another edition of the new WHFR Journal here on WHFR.FM, the station making waves. Yeah, we do things a little bit differently than any other station in the Detroit area here. And, of course, on the Internet, too, from our website, WHFR.FM, where we're streaming our broadcast signal all the time, too. So remember, you can listen anywhere in the world to WHFR.FM. My name is Jay Koronik, and I'm very happy to be with you today as your host for this show. Again, I guess I was chosen because I've lived in Dearborn longer than most of the other folks. And what we try to do is follow stories up from the newspapers and the media about Detroit and surrounding areas. Some of those stories, of course, happen to be, interestingly, stories that are important to maybe the rest of the United States, too, and maybe even internationally. Sometimes it just seems to work out that way. For example, our first story, I wanted to feature this. It's from the Metro Times, Detroit's great alternative newspaper. And I say alternative because even though they are a for-profit enterprise, they sell their newspapers for nothing, which is a really good price. If you want a copy, you just have to go and pick one up from somewhere every Wednesday. And so I'm not, I don't know if that's an endorsement for a commercial enterprise when their product is free. I don't think so. Still, they have advertisers, and they market to people, of course, who are not part of mainstream media. They're not accepting of that. And so people like to read the Metro Times for their few investigative reports and opinions about local arts and culture that aren't usually covered in the other commercial media, both newspapers, magazines, and radio and TV in the area. And that's kind of like the purpose here at WHFR. We're alternative in the sense of not trying to be anti-establishment, but in the sense of course, trying to give you news and information that the others, for one reason or another, seem to miss or misinterpret. And I'd like to feature the complete statement by Jack Lessenberry from this week's Metro Times about Reverend Wright. Now, you say Reverend Jeremiah Wright. I've heard enough about him on a Fox News cable TV channel and headline news with Glenn Beck, and I'm sick and tired of that. Well, Jack Lessenberry was there. That's right. An old white guy at an NAACP meeting. Here's his story. Here's his spin on it, which is very, very different than what the impression would be if you only watch some of the sound bites, some of the brief video and audio clips, and I mean very brief, 5 seconds, 10 seconds. I mean, they've got his first clip from a couple of weeks ago down to just God blank America. They usually take the word damn out of there that he did speak. And of course, the context was completely left out at the outset. But now it's just, you know, those words in just like 2 seconds of it. And that's enough to capsulize everything they think the speech was about. Well, of course, he made 3 or 4 other appearances on the media, although actually, excuse me, in person at the NAACP meeting. Well, here's Jack Lessenberry's in-person report. I went to see the Reverend Jeremiah Wright, now known from sea to shining sea as the Reverend Goddamn America Wright, speak the other night to the NAACP Freedom Fund dinner in Cobo Hall. Like all loyal Americans who have been subjected to constant bombardment of the famous YouTube video snippets of his sermons, I expected nasty and thuggish ranting and sullen hatred of America. Frankly, I only went in the hope I might get a clue as to what his evil agenda might be in the event that his former parishioner, U.S. Senator Barack Obama, becomes president. If so, I planned to call Bill O'Reilly immediately, given that Rush Limbaugh was most likely in a drug-induced haze. Well, that's a bit of an exaggeration, but this isn't. After a lifetime of watching media distortions, I was still surprised at the contrast between the real Jeremiah Wright and the cartoon. The man who spoke in Detroit Sunday night was warm, smart as hell, deeply intellectual, there's a difference between those two things, incidentally, incredibly funny, and as talented a speaker as I have seen. At one point, to illustrate the difference in European and African musical styles, he began singing a Renaissance cantata in the original language, in a voice so fine, my first thought was wonder that he hadn't been a professional singer. Earlier, I had cased the joint, wandering about the vast dining area. My non-scientific guess was that there were about 8,000 people there. Media reported 12,000, by the way, folks. And that the audience was about 8% white, which was too bad, because whites are the ones who most needed to see who this man really is. Blacks, by and large, get it, and understand that the real man bears a little resemblance to the cartoon. They are used, after all, to being reduced to stereotypes. What Wright's theme was his whole life, what his whole life seems to be about, is that our different subcultures are different, but not deficient. That's a quote of his key phrase. Different, I'll repeat it, not deficient. So Jack Lessenberry goes on here. Fortunately, or maybe semi-fortunately, the speech was also broadcast by CNN, which I commented last week, I saw in its entirety. Okay. Although I didn't see the audience, and the audience response I heard, which was quite favorable, but I didn't have that total view that Jack Lessenberry has here. Well, okay, Lessenberry continues. The trouble with that, the CNN broadcast, was that immediately afterward, a bunch of lame brain commentators jumped in. The prevailing consensus was tut-tutting. Wasn't, this is from CNN, cable news. Wasn't it awful that he had hid for the rest of his life under a rock? Didn't he think he owed it to Barack Obama to disappear for the duration of the campaign? Asked one clearly Republican woman, who was said to be an adjunct professor, quote unquote. And of course, Lessenberry makes fun of that because adjunct professor, you're a part-time teacher, folks, in college, okay? A lot of people are. An awful lot of people. Lessenberry's been there. A lot of people are adjunct professors, okay? It doesn't make you the pundit of the world, the prophet of the Western Hemisphere, you know? And it's really unfortunate that these people, and in this case, this person, was given the time to spout off when, number one, she wasn't there. Number two, apparently she was a Republican, and therefore anything she could say that would be damning to Barack Obama would probably be her goal. And of course, CNN put her on. Mm-hmm. Well, guess what? Jack Lessenberry says, my answer is no, it wasn't awful, he's concluding. And he goes on to say, Jeremiah A. Wright Jr. is a living, breathing, and very distinguished human being who has been folded, spindled, and mutilated by the national, and I'm going to insert here, commercial. That is, they're out for profit, folks. They're sensationalizing to get your attention and for no necessarily good human purpose. And I mean that sincerely. That's my own editorial opinion that I'm inserting there in Lessenberry's comment. The national commercial media. By the way, any opinions expressed on this show, Jack Lessenberry's or mine, or anybody else's, are not necessarily those of anyone here at Henry Ford Community College, not necessarily those of faculty, staff, administrators, students, and so on. Lessenberry continues, again, about Reverend Jeremiah Wright. He has every right. That's right. Wright has every right. No pun intended, though. Actually, Lessenberry says, I would think a duty to take a stab at defining himself. We have a duty to listen, a duty to ourselves to listen. Yes, as citizens, as educated people, as college people even, yes. We have a duty to ourselves to listen, I agree, Jack, and try to understand this complex mix that is America. The real Jeremiah Wright puts the patriotism of most politicians to shame. He was born the same year as Dick Cheney. As a future minister, he likely could have gotten a deferment during the Vietnam War. Our future war-loving vice president got 5 deferments. Wright enlisted in the Marines, served 2 years, and then went into the U.S. Navy. Not bad for someone who hates America, as he's claimed, of course. Afterwards, he got a couple master's degrees and a doctorate, married, and raised 5 children. He took over a struggling down-and-out Chicago church with 87 members and built it into a powerhouse that is now the largest church in the entire United Church of Christ fold, a mostly white denomination, by the way. The story is well known of how Obama, then a skeptical Chicago organizer, sought out Wright for his knowledge of the community and eventually joined the church and was married in it. Then suddenly, out of nowhere, Obama becomes the leading candidate for the Democratic presidential nomination. Republicans, who had planned for years to run against Hillary Clinton, began to panic and go feverishly searching for stuff on his minister, his dog, anything. So the Dirty Tricks squad went to work and dug up the videos that are now plastered all over YouTube. When this first happened, I watched them and longer versions of the sermons and thought, so what? What is wrong with this? Yes, Wright was dead wrong when he asserted that the spread of HIV/AIDS in his community is part of a government plot. But the fact is that many blacks believe that. And when you think of what else white America has done to them, how can you blame them? But as for saying, goddamn America, he wasn't calling on the deity to zap us. What he was saying was that should be our frustrated attitude when our government does horrible things. Think about it. I have known military officers totally dedicated to the service who, confronted by its absurdity, say things like, God damn this army. I know a man who loves Wayne State who, thanks to its bureaucracy, regularly says, and I'm using a term that is acceptable on Battlestar Galactica, frack Wayne State. Okay, I didn't say the F word that is objectionable. But this fellow did say that terrible word about Wayne State University, I guess. And Lessenberry goes on. So then, what about a guy who says, quote, America is the greatest purveyor of violence in the world today. This nation was founded on genocide, and a nation that is founded on genocide is destructive, unquote. Guess what? I can answer that one, says Jack Lessenberry. We turn him into a saint and make him a national hero. By the way, the Reverend Jeremiah Wright didn't say those words. It was the Reverend Martin Luther King Jr. who said them. And that's the end of his comment on the Wright speech. And I do encourage all educated people, or people that would like to show their education, to, if they must, to go to the original sources and to listen to the complete speeches, read the complete text of Reverend Wright's speeches. I agree with Jack Lessenberry after I saw the speech, even on CNN, that I don't know where these conservative right-wing pundits are coming from, these Republican pundits, in terms of the criticism of Jeremiah Wright. He has some exaggerations. He speaks in a loud way. And some people think that if you yell at them, that's abusive. And of course, that's wrong. They're just trying to get your attention. Or their PA system isn't very good and they got 12,000 people that need to hear them. And I'm not joking about that. When you have a huge congregation, you have to speak a little differently. And whether or not somebody's got a video camera going on the side, you know, it's a little bit different. Joel Osteen, who has some really nice motivational speeches, who is kind of, well, he's definitely a Christian, but he's non-denominational. He has his church down in Houston, which has about 10 or 12,000 people every week that come to hear his motivational, religious-oriented speeches. And he has certain ways to deliver. He's got a better sound system, I think, than Jeremiah Wright's for his 12,000 folks. But he has to project. He has to pause dramatically. No, he doesn't tend to yell at times, but he has to project. You know, the criticisms of our country. Our country is not perfect. There's a lot that needs to be improved and changed, and we can do it. Is that somebody's campaign speech? I'm sorry, I don't know whose that is. Was that Hillary's? I'm sorry. But we can do it if we get involved. It's not just a matter of voting, folks. It's a matter of learning about the candidates, maybe working for one, getting involved with the political system. It's worth it, because if you don't, the political system will come back and do you know what to you. That's right. If you're not involved, then you're the victim. You're going to be the victim. You say, well, it doesn't matter which way it goes. I'm still going to be the victim. No, no, it's a democracy, a representative democracy. Okay, I know the difference. But we still have to participate. Okay? Find out about candidates. Work for the one you believe in, even if it isn't one of the so-called top three right now. Yeah, there's more candidates than that running. Yes, there are. And there will be more than that on the ballot, more than two choices in November, I can guarantee you that. Libertarians will be there with a presidential candidate. The Green Party will be there with a presidential candidate. And a few other parties will be there, too. And let's not forget the local races that are going to be decided. Okay, we're not having a governor's race this year, but still, there's other local races, other people being elected all around. There's going to be some interesting ballot proposals, too, this fall in November. Do you know much about them? Have you supported them? Do you want to work for getting something on the ballot? There's a lot to do if you're a good citizen. And we've got problems enough, I think everybody will agree, that we've got to get involved and make some decisions about what to do next. Whether you call it change or just improvements, we got to get involved, people. And those who are listening to the show, you must be involved or considering it. Otherwise, why would you stay tuned for the whole hour, especially with just my voice talking? Don't worry, we'll take a break in a little while. Of course, Jack Lessenberry also refer to Detroit Mayor Kwame Kilpatrick, and I think we've all heard enough about his situation, and I'm not going to sensationalize that any more than it has been. But Lessenberry's spin on the speech, his part, you know, he was there, he heard it. You know, you can't say he's a black liberation theology person. That doesn't work, right? So we should listen to criticisms of our government and our society, and we should take them into account. And the basic thesis of Reverend Wright's statements all the way through is, hey, there's some cultural differences, but we're all important, all of us. And we all need our due. And I think that makes perfect sense. And it hasn't really happened yet. And, of course, the way that he's been attacked clearly shows that it hasn't happened yet. Because people always want to sensationalize for the sake of the soundbite and getting the ratings up so they can make more money for their corporate entities. I just hate that. That's why here at WHFR, the station making waves, independent, non-commercial radio. Okay? We're not doing this for sensationalism. I'm doing it on this show because I want to spread not the truth. I don't know what the truth is. I want to spread a variety of points of view and get you thinking and get you working and get you to the internet or something to look up what's really happening and how you can get involved. There's so much to get involved with. Okay, as we here, we turn to the local papers, the Times Herald, Sunday Times, as they call themselves on Sunday, and the Dearborn Press and Guide, opening up the Dearborn Press and Guide from last Sunday, April 27th. And we do, of course, always, always recommend that you subscribe. It's cheaper than buying copies each week. And if you live in the Dearborn, Dearborn Heights area, or wherever you live in the nearby area, you have a weekly paper. Get it. It has stuff in it that you won't read anywhere else, you won't hear about anywhere else, and it has more words that talk about those issues than even I can mention in my hour. So you need to also read these papers, both of them in the case of Dearborn, but if you only have one in your city or town, then get that one yourself and read it. Read it closely. Otherwise, you won't be involved with what's happening locally, and it was always, as we always say in this show, what matters to you most is what's happening right next door. Think about it. Of course it does. And how do you know about what your city is doing for you or what city services are unless you read the paper regularly? And in some cases, call up your city hall and call up some of these people in your government and ask them what they're doing or what's happening. That's it. Get involved. Cities plan balanced 08 budgets. That's good. I think it's essential, according to their charters, probably. Dearborn City Council gets figures from their finance czar. You know, we had a czar in Dearborn. I thought it was democracy. We have a czar here. Just a point, the director of finance, his name is Jim O'Connor in the city of Dearborn, and he's looking at the possibility, just the possibility, of a balanced budget for the upcoming 2008-09 fiscal year. And revenues and expenditures are both at about $105.4 million for the upcoming fiscal year, which is mean that it would be balanced. It's interesting, and it's true most of the time, that personnel accounts for more than 80% of the budget. So that's the salaries as well as, I guess, retirement pensions, insurance, health insurance, of course, and so on. There's a possibility that the three full-time positions, they don't say which here, are going to be cut in the next fiscal year, which would save a little money. The total number of cuts to 136 in 2001. 136 fewer full-time people working for the city of Dearborn than in 2001, just a mere 7 years ago. You wonder how things can continue. Of course, maybe there was some extra people sitting around, not too busy. I don't know. Now, one of the things they mentioned here, and this is continuing 4A, last week I said, you know, we have a rainy day fund. And I know it was $40 million a couple years ago, and people like Doug Thomas, City Councilman Doug Thomas, had said, along with Tefelski too at that time, that was too much, that, you know, we should use some of that to pay for some bills and reduce taxes, for example. Well, the fund balance, and last week I said, I thought the fund balance maybe was down to 10 or 15 million, 10 or 20 million, I think. And it's reported here, thank you, how appropriate newspaper comes out when I need some information, that the fund balance for the upcoming fiscal year is estimated to be about $28 million. So they still have a large, large chunk on that. And they do quote here that Councilman Doug Thomas said that he believed the number is somewhat high. And in other words, we don't need to run that high a balance, and cited other cities that have fund balances that are equal to 5 to 10% of their operating budget. So if our operating budget is $105 million, then we would only need about $10 million, $11 million, to have a, you know, an emergency fund. And I think that's fairly standard in business in general. O'Connor did respond, said he anticipates the use of up to $8 million of that $27 million this next year, which would equal out to about 10% of the city's general fund. So in other words, that fund is going to be down. And it's been dropping each year. They've been borrowing from it, as I said last week. And if they lose $8 million, that means it's down to $19 million. And if they lose $8 million next year, it's going to be down there. So we only got another year or two to go spending the way we are. And I'm not quite clear how earlier in the article he said that we have $104,000 of expenses, $104 million, and $104 million of income. Except apparently he was including $8 million from this rainy day fund, this general fund balance that we've been running for several years. So that's how he balances the budget. And, of course, Councilmember Bob Abraham said the obvious. He believes that it's a good thing the city has a healthy fund balance. He said if our fund balance was at about $8 million or $9 million in 2000, I hate to see what we'd have had to deal with in the last 5 years. Dearborn Mayor Jack O'Reilly says thanks should be given to city employees. He cited the fact that they've worked with a less than 1% increase for some time now. Wow. Less than 1% increase each year, and let me tell you, inflation has been more than that, 3, 4% per year, and sometime now, probably 5 to 6 to 7 years. So people have, in effect, been taking pay cuts. Their income is not keeping up with inflation. But it's nice that they're willing to do that for the good of the city, I guess, or for the good of maintaining their jobs. I guess they know that if they don't take the indirect cuts, you know, the lack of increases work out as cuts to their pay, in fact, because of their buying power being reduced, then probably means they'd have to fire a few more full-time people. So people at the bottom in seniority in the city, thank you very much for taking those cuts, effective cuts. O'Reilly said the fund balance is a cushion given the state of revenue sharing. They know what the long-term goal here is. Yeah, we're trying to keep our head above water. What about Dearborn Heights, you ask? How are they doing? Heights plans anticipated slight income increase. According to the city's general fund budget, expenditures are expected to increase by about 3% during the 2008-09 fiscal year, surpassing the previous year's total by more than $1.1 million. While the news sounds grim, given the state's current economic climate, city officials are also anticipating a revenue increase during the upcoming fiscal year from $38 million to $39.1 million, which will allow Dearborn Heights to maintain a balanced budget for the fifth consecutive year. If the Dearborn Heights City Council approves the proposed $39.1 million budget next month, the city's Department of Public Works could receive about $2.6 million, which is about $32,420 less than it received the previous year. Public Services Administrator Jack Franzel presented his department's budget to the council on Tuesday. According to preliminary figures, funding for the DPW will account for about 6.6% of the city's total budget. The mayor has proposed providing about $2.6 million for the department, which will see a reduction of more than $25,000 in overtime pay in the next year compared to the figures presented in the previous year's budget, amended budget. Also, with nearly 99% of the city's ash trees, which harbor the invasive ash borer beetle, removed, the department's tree removal budget could be slashed by more than $150,000. So no more trees, no more beetle problems. That takes care of that problem. Oh, dear. But while some of the areas of the department will be spending less, others will see their cost increase. Salaries are expected to increase. Road repair is expected to increase. City clerk said her department's going to increase because of the November election, that the polls are going to be very busy. They'll need more people to keep up with the voting. Let's hope a lot of people vote. Salaries are expected to increase. It doesn't say the percentages here. It just says the overall group, so I can't estimate the percentages. It looks a lot more than 1%, though. Looks more to me like about 4%. But the department's budget accounts for less than 1% of city's total budget, and that is which department? Human Resources. Okay, they're still talking about that. So, anyway, they seem to be doing pretty well over there for whatever reasons, holding their own. Dearborn, again, doesn't talk about a fund balance in Dearborn Heights. They don't need to dip into a fund balance. We still need to do that here, and that's still a financial problem. We still have 1 or 2 years left that we'll have money enough in that fund balance. We always want to keep about that 10% just in case, but it's true. It's been quite fortunate that in these tougher times, Dearborn's fund balance has been able to be used a little bit each year to help keep us afloat, sort of an even keel while we're hoping for things to get better, which, of course, they haven't. Ford Motor, however, has made $100 million in the first quarter of this year. So there. Good for Ford. How many did they have to lay off to get that way? Okay, now we're just spinning through paper here to see what else is happening. The Dearborn Press and Guide from last Sunday. Relay for Life, we have a spot for that, and let's play that right now. It's about halfway through the hour. Henry Ford Community College and WHFR, we have gotten together a team. We're going to be walking. I don't know how much rain they're going to be in the next day, but by golly, we're walking for the sake of, to show support for cancer survivors as well as those recently departed due to that disease. And so in sympathy, I guess, for their passing. And Relay for Life is something that's a nationally organized thing. I know it's happening in different communities, different times, but Dearborn Heights, I think, is doing it together, and it'll be tomorrow. It'll be tomorrow starting at 10 a.m., and here's more information on that. right now.
Join WHFR and Henry Ford Community College for the 10th annual 24-hour Dearborn Relay for Life, beginning Saturday, May 3rd at 10 a.m. at the Ford Community and Performing Arts Center on Michigan Avenue in Dearborn. This event will take place at the center's outdoor soccer and track field. WHFR is excited to be participating this year with Team HFCC to raise funds and awareness in the fight for cancer. Relay for Life is an American Cancer Society fundraising activity which takes place all over the country. If you'd like to make a donation, simply click on the HFR radio link at the bottom of our homepage, whfr.fm, and fill out the online donation form. Help WHFR and Team HFCC participate in the fight against cancer and support Dearborn's Relay for Life, beginning Saturday at 10 a.m. at Dearborn's Ford Center. Join us Saturday. We'll see you there.
Ford Community College has a lot to offer: a credit transfer guarantee, a job skills guarantee, and a tuition freeze guarantee. Registration for spring, summer, and fall classes begins Monday, March 31st. Call 1-800-585-HFCC for additional information, or check the website at hfcc.edu. Henry Ford Community College, your best choice guaranteed.
So let me add a little bit. First of all, Relay for Life does start at King Boring Field. That's what it's called, folks. King Boring was a famous Dearborn resident, I guess, involved with sports or whatever, in the baseball diamond on Greenfield, just south of Michigan Avenue, just off. It's in this, the center complex, but it's sort of back from Michigan Avenue, actually closer to Greenfield. And we're told to enter for the Relay for Life by the Greenfield entrance. I need to mention also that if you want to come by Relay for Life, you want to walk, you want to make a contribution tomorrow with the whole family, even if there's showers, we're going to be there for 24 hours, at least a WHFR tent, and people are going to be coming and going on from the HFCC staff and WHFR throughout the night even. Maybe some people will be selling food and other things will be happening there at the King Boring Field, and plenty of parking. But remember that they're reconstructing the bridge at Michigan, Greenfield, going over Michigan Avenue, and so traffic is a little slow there. It is a little better for you if you can scoot around. If you're coming east on Michigan Avenue from, say, West Dearborn, you might want to turn at the police headquarters and scoot around to the back of the campus by the Amtrak building, and then you'll get to the King Boring Field parking lot without any holdup there. You're trying to turn right is going to be slow because it's going to be one lane only. And coming north from Greenfield from Rotunda is not a bad idea either, because you turn into the center drive before you get to Michigan Avenue, then you'll see the big sign, King Boring Field. So an unboring time will be had for a very good cause, to help fight cancer and to support the cancer survivors. Relay for Life in Dearborn tomorrow, the 3rd. Also tomorrow, a benefit for several nonprofit organizations at Green Brain Comics. They're on Michigan Avenue. This is 10 a.m. to 8 p.m. So maybe you want to stop two places tomorrow with the family. Free comic books. And they got them for little young kids or older adults. They got all kinds. And we always love telling you about free stuff. And in fact, if you bring canned goods to donate, you can even earn extra free comic books. And in the Gleaners Food Bank of Detroit, by donating gently used books for Friends of the Library, that's great too. Financial support of non-commercial college radio. or the Comic Book Legal Defense Fund, even. If you do any of those, like throw a buck in the bucket for WHFR, they'll give you another comic book. You can walk out of there with a whole bunch of comic books for, you know, just donating some cool stuff. That's always the first Saturday in May, by the way, and we always get a percent of the proceeds, not just the donations, too, and we split them with other nonprofit groups. So Free Comic Book Day tomorrow, May 3rd, Green Brain Comics on Michigan Avenue, east of Greenfield. In fact, east of Schaefer and Michigan Avenue, too. Okay, and my final comment about the spring registration. Spring semester classes start next Tuesday. That's right, May 6th. They start Tuesday. Monday is sort of a get-ready day, and they go for only 7 weeks, folks, not 8 weeks now. So 7 weeks, you know, and I think there's a, besides starting one day in there, and there's a day off for Memorial Day, in fact, Not even a full 7 weeks, but we got to squeeze a 15-week semester experience in there. So it's kind of intense, but you get whatever class you might need out of the way rather quickly. WHFR staff training classes, which are normally 8 weeks, are just squeezed a little bit down to 7 weeks, and they meet also starting next week, Wednesday and Thursday. So check out the schedule, hfcc.edu. People have been registering since the end of March. So for more than a month, people have been registering, but there's still openings in a lot of classes. But the lines, I was over in the registrar's office here at the college just before the show, and there's people in line, let me say that. And you can do, if you've been a student here before, you can just go to hfcc.edu and enroll in the new semester because you've already been admitted once. You only have to be admitted once, and then you're admitted forever. You can do that online. I think you can do it by touchtone phone. Once you know the section numbers, and section numbers are on the internet, of course, and so on and so forth. Or you can just come in person. Doesn't take too long, even though there are some lines now. So they'll be registering today, perhaps tomorrow. I got no information on that from anyone at the college here directly, but usually they're open on the Saturday registration, and certainly next Monday all day and into the probably 7 at night at least, if not 7:30, and classes start Tuesday. So keep that in mind. They're all done by the third week of June. So you're in and out pretty quick, even though it's kind of intense. You got to do like double time in class every week and double the assignments every week as compared to a 15 or 16 week semester. But get in and out and get it done. And a lot of classes still available. So encourage you to consider Henry Ford Community College. This is the new WHFR Journal, 1 to 2 p.m. every Friday. My name is Jay Koronick. I'm also station advisor here. If you do have any comments or questions for us, I can't take your calls on the air, not the format of the show. I do appreciate those comments and questions. You can either call after the show or just leave a voicemail, 313-845-9676, the office side, which is option 2, and that'll get you somebody over there. They can take a message or they can get you to voicemail for me. Again, the name is Koronick. Okay, looking at last Sunday's Times. Okay, we did this story a while back about a little flap about why the city of Lincoln Park gave permission to the Larry Flint Hustler Club to open there. Well, formerly it was a park theater on 4th Street. And apparently, I hear reading this, first of all, legally, the lawyers say you can't stop it from happening. I mean, everybody negotiated in good faith. City made a deal. Apparently, the Park Theater had full nude live performances. Oh, yeah. And the Larry Flint Hustler Club, Larry Flint is a person who founded Hustler Magazine, is going to have limiting nudity. So I don't know what they mean by limiting it. You're either nude or you aren't, right? I mean, how do you limit nudity? Is it certain hours? Only after 10 at night or only for 5 minutes every hour? I don't know what that means. But I think just it's unfortunate for public relations in the city that the place has to be called the Larry Flint Hustler Club, because a lot of people associate Mr. Flint with pretty sleazy, slimy kinds of things. He was sued a couple times, but he won on the basis of freedom of speech here in this country, which is a wonderful thing, a noble thing, a unique thing, and we should be very proud of having that. But Mr. Flint's reputation in other ways is not criminal, but it's not real positive in general across the country. But it's going to open sometime, I guess. So forget about trying to be upset about that, folks. If you don't want to go there, don't go there. Okay. Just going through. Oh, Cinco de Mayo. Yeah, Cinco de Mayo activities going on this weekend. The 5th of May is sort of an Independence Day for Mexico, and it's celebrated a variety of places and times. Certainly at the Redford Town Hall Complex, they're going to have the 4th annual Cinco de Mayo Festival Friday and Saturday. So it's going on now, 6 p.m. to midnight. Well, soon will, 6 p.m. to midnight tonight and noon to midnight Saturday. It's the Redford Town Hall. That's at 15145 Beach Daily Road. Yeah. They're going to have all kinds of games, activities, a car show, hot tamale car show. Entertainment, authentic Mexican food. That's always my favorite. Okay, so good for Redford. And I'm sure elsewhere, too, around the city or in southwest Detroit restaurants. I'm sure that will have some kind of special things going on there. Yep, there's a big ad in last Sunday's Sunday Times about that. It's now the 5th annual festival in downtown Redford Township. Entertainers to extreme air jumpers, inflatable clowns. Oh, no, it's inflatables and then clowns. So, and mechanical bull rides. That's a lot of bull, I bet. Yep. Okay, so much for that joke. Let's move on. We're now in Wednesday. Yes, we move from Sunday to Wednesday. Looking at the Times Herald from this last Wednesday, April 30th. This is WHFR.FM, making waves, you know. And this is the new WHFR General Show. Okay. Yes, we might have a new superintendent of public schools in Dearborn soon. The public is invited to meet with the super finalists. The finalists for superintendent. Okay. We hope they're all super. Wouldn't that be nice? All from Krypton. Yep. On May 1st, huh? That was yesterday. Of course, the paper came out on Wednesday. So I guess we missed that, folks. Sorry about that. Oh, all kinds of numbers here. Can't possibly give you all the times and places these people are going to be. 15 minutes here, 10 minutes there, 20 minutes here and there. Oh, my gosh. May 5th, a person by the name of William DeFrance. So the first person, Teresa Spencer. If you didn't know about this before, you missed her. May 5th, William DeFrance is going to be around town. And then, just to mention the name of the third candidate, it's got to be here somewhere. Yeah, Brian Whiston, May 6th. Okay, he's going to be at Henry Ford Community College some of the times and meeting with student groups and lunches different places. And the public is encouraged, if they can figure out where these people are, to come on by. So good luck trying to track him down. That's going to be a challenge. A third suit has now been filed against Judge Mark Summers, and he has a letter to the editor about this to try to discuss his situation. But the headline is, for the third time in 15 months, a woman formerly employed at the 19th District Court has filed a federal sexual and religious discrimination lawsuit against the city, the court, and Chief Judge Mark Summers. It accuses Summers of a number of things, getting her dismissed as an employee, supposedly because she became pregnant, but she was not married, and he didn't like that, and also accuses him of preaching from the bench, sometimes referring to marijuana as the devil's weed or, quote, Satan's surge. Isn't that protected speech? I don't know. Freedom of speech and all that. Anyway, another lawsuit here. So we're going to turn to page 4A and feature some of the letter from the judge, and you need to read it all because, unfortunately, we can't here with 15 minutes to go. And he's referring to an article on April 23rd, the week before, judge finds against misconduct in mistaken ID case. And so I'm just going to read some of his summary. He says, while I have no intention of commenting on the merits of Judge William Hulgren's case before the Judicial Tenure Commission, as I believe it would be improper to do so, I would nonetheless wish to address some of the errors in the article, and in particular, erroneous allegations made against me that, if true, would negatively reflect on my integrity. I have made a point of making myself accessible to the press and confess my disappointment that I was not contacted for comment before the story ran last week. Yes, folks, reporters, that's the way you do it. That's the way we teach it anyway. If somebody is mentioned and also sort of in not a totally positive way in a story, you do not go to press without trying to get in touch with them. Now, maybe they tried and were not successful, but he didn't, you know, maybe you should hold the story back then. Editors take note here. He goes on to say, and this is Mark W. Summers, Chief Judge, 19th District Court, I'm truly saddened that my colleague has taken, this is William Hulgren, his feelings of personal animosity towards me to the press. We have had our disagreements, to be sure, arising out of his insistence that his girlfriend be appointed court administrator, and my objection to the appointment, which ended up with the Michigan Supreme Court's decision that the appointment was against their anti-nepotism policy. But up until now, the disagreements had not resulted in direct personal public attacks. I am strong. I can take it in stride. But the public we are sworn to serve should know the truth, the whole truth, and nothing but the truth. And I'm sorry I do not have time to go over the details, but there they are. He has five separate points that he makes. Where he was slighted, who he's not accurately reported, and where he has his opinion to state about these things. And why does he need to do this? Because if you just read the summary of the articles, you know, the sound bites or just the headlines, well, that's not necessarily the whole truth. And in fact, if once you know all the facts, maybe you decide the headlines are not even fair. That they're a good summary, but they're not the total package. You know what I'm saying? Maybe you don't. So read Judge Summers' letter to the editor about April 23rd article. But it looks like that since last week, and his letter does not respond to the story that's in April 30th issue about the new court suit that has been filed against him by, guess whom? The girlfriend or former girlfriend of William Hulgren. I assume that's what we're talking about. Is that the unmarried pregnant former girlfriend? Am I getting things all messed up? Well, it's easy to do that. This is not a simple issue, folks, so do not think ill of Judge Hulgren or Judge Summers? Certainly not until you've read all the story. This is one of those things where I actually want the courts to sort it out. You know, years ago when people kept asking me when the now infamous black movie star and former football star had his, and I don't even have to mention the name, do I, court trial for more than a year, on public television, publicly spread every channel, every day. He was found innocent of murdering his wife, but he was found guilty in the civil suit of murdering his wife and therefore having to pay damages to his legal children of millions of dollars, which he hasn't started paying yet. People said, well, do you think he's guilty? I don't know, I said. I'm not in the courtroom. I'm not actively assessing all the information. How can I make a fair judgment? It's highly complicated. There's a lot of information that is in conflict, in fact. And it's not fair for any one of us to jump to a conclusion. Well, I think he's guilty. Well, I think he's innocent. I think she's right. I think she's wrong. This is complicated enough, folks, as many things are in life, that those of us on the outside should not spout opinions. Well, we really don't know. Just because you feel something, that's lovely. It's nice to feel. It doesn't mean you should foster your feelings on other people. If it has to do with a crime, if it has to do with a person's image and reputation, we just don't know. Let the courts decide this one, and they will be objective. That's what the courts have to try to be. And they will get all the facts from both sides presented, right? That's the beauty of our system. And maybe they make mistakes. But we certainly make a big mistake in trying to conclude that somebody's guilty or innocent in advance. Well, Frank Bewick's 30-plus-1 column, and he does have it now on the web. If you miss any of his columns, you can go to 30plus1.com. Yeah, and you can read his editorials there. You can hear this show, of course, podcast back 12 weeks, if you are desperate to find out what we said 12 weeks ago, from WHFR.fm. So new WHFR journal, lower right corner of the homepage. Click on it, and you can download the MP3 of this show this hour each week in case you don't listen to it live from on Fridays from 1 to 2, or you want to hear it again. What did Koronick say? That is always the burning question, isn't it? Well, Frank, in this article, does talk about saving fuel. Maybe we shouldn't drive so fast. That is a good point, Frank. But, you know, driving only at slower speeds in the city, which is the safest thing to do, is going to burn more gas than going quickly. And some cars are most efficient at 55. Some are more efficient at 60 or 62 in terms of getting best mileage with gasoline-type engines. Of course, alternative fuels are the answer. As long as it's not ethanol, where you know that little side problem. There's always a side problem. There's no easy technological answers, folks. You know, replace your standard tungsten light bulbs with fluorescents. Yeah, but they got mercury in them. When you throw them away, the mercury, a deadly poison to humans, gets in the earth, gets in the water, and then will start killing us. So you can't dispose of your little squirrely fluorescent light bulbs in the normal way. If you do, you're hurting us more than the energy you're burning in your tungsten bulbs. Because they can be just smashed and trashed and thrown in the regular trash. Even though the glass is dangerous and sharp, it's not poison inside the tungsten light bulbs. And the same thing with ethanol, for example. It's made of corn. Well, there goes the price of corn and food for the worldwide population. Great to burn your corn and your corn oil in your car, but the energy saving is not great worldwide, and the price of food is going up because of that. So shame on us. Ethanol is not the answer. What's the best answer? Reduce. You know, recycle, reuse, reduce. Don't drive as much. Easy for you to say, Koronick, you live only a mile and a half away from the college. Yes, that's true. Next time you're looking for a house, why not get one closer to your job? You don't have a job, you say. Well, then that's a problem. Yeah. But you got to try to live closely enough to work or support, no matter how much it drives them in debt, your city, your county, support your friendly local metro transit system and get it improved so you don't need a car. Yeah, imagine. Walk to work. Bicycle to work. Even when it's cold or rainy. Go ahead. It won't kill you if you're dressed for it at all. It's better for your health, in fact, to walk or bike. Actually, you'd probably be more healthy even if you get cold or wet, if you get your exercise going. So remember, reduce is going to be a lot better in the long run than all these other quickie little fixes, like the gas tax removal this summer. How crazy Hillary Clinton and John McCain are for proposing that. I mean, gee, it sounds good to me. Now, what you should do is not drive as much. Do you ever consider taking a train from Dearborn train station to Chicago? That's cool. Yeah. Save gas, save anxiety. So in fact, I'm planning to do that. I think I may be doing that in a couple of weeks. Go to Chicago on the train. Doesn't cost too much. Cheaper than buying gas, certainly. No hassle. Free parking at the Dearborn train station. Hop right on the train. 5-hour trip, something like that. But it's all sitting back and looking out the windows, you know, or reading a good book. Yeah, reading a good book. So reduce. Don't do it as much. Okay? It's Arson Awareness Week, folks. So don't do arson. Don't light fires. It's Smokey the Bear says put out forest fires and city fires too. That's silly. Student housing and the transit system is on the city's dockets, and this is an exciting story. Mayor O'Reilly, when he was on this show 2 weeks ago, talked about this during the whole hour that we talked to him, and it is true, though, that that there's different things that are happening. Student housing for students. Doug Thomas doesn't believe that any downtown site should be considered for, he said a better site for student housing would be closer to the campus near Andiamos, that's near to U of MD. He thinks that student housing is not upscale enough. Well, folks, I came back from Austin, Texas just a couple months ago, and they have a 80,000 student population. We got some real upscale student housing areas there, let me tell you. No slums involved. So, Doug, I don't know what you're referring to. What do you think student housing is? You think Ann Arbor has got low-cost, slimy student housing for the U of M? No, not at all. Why would it be that way here? I don't know. Makes you wonder. But it's good. We get all these ideas out before we do it. A couple of good ideas. Mayor O'Reilly was pushing there. We were always working towards making something better, and that's the idea, right? I was very impressed, and you should read this. Should Michigan House Speaker Andy Dillon be recalled? We've done this story over and over again many times, but there is John Connolly, a local Republican, Dearborn Heights resident, chairman of the Dearborn Heights Republican Club, and Morris Goodman. They do like a pro-con, you know, a Republican-Democrat, two columns on the same topic, and one always feels yes, another feels no. But leave Representative Andy Dillon aside, because we've covered that. There was a group mentioned by John Connolly here, the Nonpartisan Citizens Research Council, CRC of Michigan. And he talks about them warning the governor and legislators about economic crisis coming up, and they offer several measures that would have reduced non-essential state spending. None were implemented. And then again in May 2007, they have recommendations, and none were followed. And so I looked up. I said, well, who in the heck are Citizens Research Council of Michigan? Now, on their board of trustees, they have awful lot of college presidents. Yeah, college and university presidents. Kind of interesting. I didn't notice any names. I noticed a lot of big business CEOs. So if they're big corporate entities, you can be fairly sure that the CRC is going to be supportive of Republican solutions. Yep. And also things that are good for business. Oh, yeah. And remember, what's good for business isn't necessarily good for the rest of us, especially if business keeps all the profits to themselves, folks. That's always the question. Oh, well, it's a trickle-down theory. Business gets more money, they'll hire more people for jobs. Not necessarily. If they can save more money by outsourcing them to China, Philippines, South Korea, they'll still do it if it increases their profit margin. They're not concerned about local jobs. They're not. Only profits. Isn't that what they're there for? That's true. That's what they're there for, folks. Can't blame them for grabbing for the money and hurting their own home communities, as long as they decide to be in that community. So I'm a little suspicious of the Citizens Research Council, but they do have a website, and it's crcmich.org. And all of their reports are there, all of their suggestions. And before you criticize the Republicans or the Democrats, just remember that none of these proposals for reducing essential services, or non-essential services as they see it, were brought about yet in the state of Michigan. So not time enough here. 1 minute to go. We're going to have to conclude our show now. New WHFR Journal. But check on them. The Citizens Research Council. And they are a nonprofit group, although conservative, Republican, and business-oriented. But their proposals have not been adopted yet in Michigan. And hey, maybe that's what we ought to consider for the next go-round. Maybe large investments in new jobs and education aren't the only answer. Maybe they're not even the best answer. And so I haven't had a chance to review all of their recommendations. Maybe I'll get a time and comment on that in the future. So until next Friday, remember, Henry Ford Community College starting up spring semester next Tuesday. So you want to be part of that, better move. Relay for Life tomorrow at King Boring Field near Dearborn's Center at Michigan and Greenfield. And take care out there. Jay Kornick saying goodbye for now. This is WHFR Dearborn. Stay tuned for Joanne Korchinska and Highway 61. Until then, let's keep stirring things up.